Last fall, the U.S. Steel Mining Company announced the suspension of its operations in the small town of Gary, West Virginia. 1,100 miners were laid off. Towns like Gary, which exist because of coal, have long known their fortunes were tied to those of steel. But since 1977, steel production in the U.S. has dropped off nearly 30%, and as a result, more than 400 related businesses have shut their doors. Now, 8 months after the layoffs, unemployment in Gary is estimated at 95%. Adam Phillips prepared this report on the little mountain town where people are wondering not when, but if they'll recover.
To many Americans, the whine and chug of a passing coal train means prosperity. But here at the Banta Market in Gary, West Virginia, its meaning is quite different. To the huddles of unemployed miners who pass the time here shopping and chatting, it means lost jobs and saying goodbye to lifelong buddies. To the other customers at the market, most of whom are retirees, it means the end of an era for the town. There is no more work. Francis Martin was a coal miner. So was his father. He shares the mood of his fellow miners down at the store.
It's one of dismay, frustrations, bewilderment.
Mining the coal that makes the steel has always been Gary's lifeblood and reason for being. It was United States Steel that built Gary's houses, clustering them at the mouths of its early mines. Gary has seen many a boom and bust during his 86-year history, but never before has one felt so final. Francis Martin.
In the last 4 years, I've been laid off four times. And then in August of 1986, they notified the employees here that at best, it wouldn't be any more work here from 3 to 5 years, if ever. And I'm a veteran miner of 36 years, and there's a lot of them in my same category with much more time. You can imagine how bad we all felt about it.
The mines had been idle for 22 months back in the early 1980s. When they reopened, many workers thought that as they increased productivity, their jobs would be secure. That's why many say they were shocked when the gates were locked last summer.
Why do they keep people's hope built up? Why are they playing with people's lives? I mean, you know, I consider it life. They shouldn't have did it. They should have told us, hey, we don't have nothing secure. If you want to stay here, stay here. If you don't, go find you another job. Give us something. Let us know what's happened, you know. Don't leave us in the sky.
U.S. Steel is spending a lot of money these days on a job placement and retraining project for its laid-off workers. Bill Myers, who runs the project in Gary, says that the writing was clearly on the wall before the mines closed.
They were told how they were doing, what was happening in the marketplace, how far behind they were, the fact that they were losing money. People may not have wanted to admit it, but they had been told what their status was and what their future was, and it was extremely risky.
Myers himself was a veteran of the southern coal fields before going to work for U.S. Steel. He says that the miners did what they could.
These miners in southern West Virginia are like a lot of other coal miners. They have a lot of pride in their work. The employees tried very, very hard to work smarter and do their jobs a little bit better and increase productivity, and they did increase productivity rather substantially, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50%. But they were very disheartened, as were we, that we kept seeing that market price run faster than we could run.
The production out of those mines had been at a fairly low level. And the way we looked at the market suggested that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of improvement in that.
Thomas Farrell is a vice president of U.S. Steel Mining Company. He says that as the company weighs closing a mine, the fact that it is the only big employer in a small town is addressed in the deliberation. But in Gary's case, economic problems in the industry prevailed.
The whole steel picture is one I'm sure well known to you folks and to your listeners. Is one of declining production and declining demand for some of the raw materials. You really come down finally to a question of survival, a question of competitiveness, and once the data are measured against those kinds of considerations, decisions have to be made.
Whatever triggered the shutdown, the effect on Gary and its people has been devastating. The population, once a healthy 10,000 strong, has plummeted to 3,000. More young people leave every day. Almost all of Gary's small businesses have closed. Everyone is anxious.
Basically, the guys are standing around on the corner and bored to death. And, you know, it's just like a powder keg. You don't know what's going to happen.
Maggie Allison works part-time as a member of the city council. Her husband is a coal miner.
and the ones that's got families. They're having problems. It's like their families is just going to break up, a divorce. They don't know what to do. They spend a lot of money on beer in the store. And they just stand around or go from house to house and, you know, talk about, you know, where they went, you know, yesterday looking for work, where they're going tomorrow.
When Gary incorporated as a town in 1971 during a boom with full employment, it was given its infrastructure, lock, stock, and barrel by U.S. Steel. Gary's citizens had every reason then to expect continued corporate tax income from the company. But now the town is almost broke. The roads are potholed and dangerous. The sewage system is shot. 60 miles of ancient water pipe produces water that is undrinkable and ruins the laundry. Ananito has lived in Gary all her 83 years. Witnessing Gary's present decay reminds her of the primitive days she once knew.
You know, since the mines are closed, it's quiet. Looked like the animals are coming down. We saw a fox the other day. We saw wild turkeys flying across. I was sitting on Harold's porch one day, and I said, look, Harold, there's a snake going across. He went over there, and it was a copperhead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll come down where it's quiet, you know, or you wouldn't see them.
Gary's nighttime streets have been dark for months because the town couldn't afford to pay for the electricity. Now the streetlights themselves have vanished. Abby Hunt is a spry 77. She says the departing U.S. Steel has treated the town shabbily.
The company would drag out, taking out every belt line, every piece of hose, even their salvage, scrap iron, everything. Even the light poles went yesterday. They were dragging them up. The Appalachian Power Company came and took out every one of them.
No one's prediction for Gary's immediate future is particularly cheerful, but officials hope to change that. The Center for Regional Progress at Marshall University in West Virginia is in the early stages of studying the feasibility of reopening the Gary mines. McDowell County officials are working from another three-part blueprint from the Marshall Center. They say that they hope to hire an economic development director within weeks, and they're looking into alternative industries such as wood products processing and tourism. County officials say turning the area around will be a tremendous challenge, but the mountain people of Gary are proud and want to keep their town alive. Ted Anderson is Gary's chief of police. Due to budget cuts, he works alone, chief of no one.
You have to have a positive attitude if you're going to sit around and be downhearted and all that and think it's going to stay this way. You worry yourself to death.
For National Public Radio, this is Adam Phillips.